Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR. Got your host, James J. behind the mic. We are joined by CEO of Your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, Terry Johns.
Good morning.
Got the band together. We're going to have some fun. Got some entertainment news coming up for you in a little bit. We'll also get into a couple of other fun stories. We'll see what Terry decides. We've got one. We're going to make her, I'm going to put her on the spot.
I'm just going to give you something different.
That's right. That's perfect. All that coming up for you. But right now, we're going to kick off the 9 o'clock hour with our friend Madeline Palmquist. She is going to kind of get into a bit of the referendum of the ATV-UTV bill that you're going to see on your ballot coming up on November 5th. And Madeline, thanks a lot for making the time being in with us today.
Thank you for having me.
We appreciate it. I want to get into a little bit of the history of this real quick with you first, because not only did I see this as a great opportunity for us to talk about the referendum, but to encourage our community when they see things and think of things to put it into action, because that's what you did. Can you explain that for us a little?
Yeah. So I started off on the sidelines with this one, watching the city council meetings and then what happened and what the group was doing. And I saw an opportunity that I could come in and help and provide a little bit of insight and do what I could to help educate the community and get the community more involved. So that's where I stepped in. Was probably a year after the whole discussion started with Brian Marsh and our former mayor, Shane Blazer, to bring forward something to the council. I came in and worked closely with Brian and the other group to get a survey out, talk to the community, see if there was something we could do that wasn't as formal as a referendum to provide the council the idea that they needed, that this had community support. And then that just spiraled from there, where I saw that I could do more. So I ran for local government. I currently sit at the city council. I serve District 8, and I am the council president.
Congrats on that, by the way.
Thank you.
And appreciate the service, appreciate the work putting into the community. And then when it comes to something like this, getting the ball rolling, if you will, how did that go?
So I come from a background of process and procedure. So I know there's always something written down and rules that have to be followed. So when this got voted by our city council to go to a referendum, I knew that there were state statutes that guided that. So we followed the state statute to put together a revised ordinance that the city had proposed, make changes to it to have it look more like our state statute and our county level statute, and then have signatures. We, in hindsight, collected signatures in December. Bad idea. Terrible idea. It was so cold.
I mean, live and learn.
Yeah. At one point, my sign said, "Need signatures. I'm freezing. Please help." So we were out collecting signatures. We had a whole bunch of hands on deck from the community, people stepping up to take signatures to family parties and talk to their friends and talk to their family about it. We ended up with 15% more than what is required to file an official referendum. Yes. So it was about 1,300 signatures total.
Nice.
And the ball was rolling.
And I appreciate that breakdown so much, because, again, I think it's interesting with this referendum in particular, but to anybody out there that is seeing these things in their community and like, well, I don't know what I could do or what could I make happen or anything. You just gave us a perfect example of what a citizen can do. And certainly not to say that you did this alone. I want to give credit to everybody that helped with
Thank you.
Of course. But it is a good example of that to the community. And I don't know about you two, but I know growing up or even in recent years, I've heard this from people, not even so much from our community, but people in other communities, and that of the frustration or the idea that, well, what can I do? Well, we just gave you a great example of what you can get done and how it can be accomplished. And I'm not talking about whether the referendum will pass or not. I'm just talking about getting something to this place and getting us to talk about something. That part of it, whether it is passed or not, that is, of course, every one of you out there's decision. You guys choose for yourselves. We're just trying to make sure that you have all the information you need to make those decisions. Because, as always, we are a bipartisan station, and we don't really take sides of one way or the other. Now, I do want to note two things here. One, I have talked about this a little bit on the air, and in particular with Sheriff Sean Becker. And Sean and I talked on air, off air about this. And this was a topic that it has nothing to do with drinking and driving, but I do think that this is something that will pop in people's brains. And if it doesn't, it's certainly something we should address, because it's certainly a concern. You have to look at the positives and negatives of any situation when we're talking about them. And if I got Sheriff Becker in front of me, that's one of the most trusted voices to me, I believe, in our area, in the state, I will say. So I take his word to note. And Sean was not giving you necessarily telling you one way or the other how he felt about this, but definitely giving us the stats and the data that this can be safe. This is a safe situation. And that other communities that have done this have seen safe results from it, along with certainly the economic impact that it can make. Madeline, I'm curious, from you and the data that you've been able to collect, have you seen a similar thing with other communities that have done similar, had similar referendums pass?
Yeah, absolutely. And there is always a bad egg. There's a bad egg in every situation. Yeah, and I completely understand, everyone who is into this sport understands that there are risks that go along with it. But it's understanding that if that risk outweighs the benefit that we could have as a community. So then we looked at it. It's the safety aspect of operating an ATV or UTV, whether you're operating on a private property or operating on a roadway, is something that needs to be considered, and the state agrees with that. There is a whole group dedicated to educating the public about safety, whether they understand the sport, whether they want to get into it, or they're completely on the sidelines. So a lot of the misunderstandings and misconceptions that we hear are from a misunderstanding of that broader state statute 2333. There are things in there that we don't, that we think could be better, like drinking and driving. The state does not have a restriction on open containers. The city level ordinance does. So anyone operating in the city, if this passes, would not be permitted to have an open container on their ATV or in their UTV at any point in time. Mm-hmm. The same with licensure.
Right, right. And when it comes to the pros of this and why this is being put on the why this is really why we're here and everything with this, the economic impact that this can make, I think, is certainly there's the recreation part of it, the sport part of it. Don't take anything lightly from those things. But I think the reason we're having this conversation is certainly another way to build the economy in our communities and to create more business for our businesses.
Yeah, and diversify our portfolio. Mm-hmm. Like, we've relied on the mill for so long, and that is being dismantled. So we need to figure out what we're going to do. This is something that we could do that is easy. It doesn't involve much from the city standpoint. We have to put up some signs. We have to pass an ordinance, and it needs to be enforced. There are grants out there that help our city officials and county level enforcement officers to understand. There's grants to be able to improve and advertise that we have open roadways in Wisconsin Rapids, and we're one of the only communities in Wood County that has no open roads, and we're the dead end for four major trails. If we were open, people could come here from all over the state, all over the country, stay at the Hotel Mead, travel all the way up to Black River Falls for the day, come back, visit like Bow Wow Meow, which is right across the way there, and enjoy what we have to offer as a city.
You know, I've certainly seen other communities in our area passing referendums like this, but it wasn't until this came up in I think about maybe 3-4 months ago or whatever, when I was first really diving into this subject, that I realized that all of our surrounding areas have this already. To think that we are kind of on an island without that, economically doesn't make a lot of sense. And then the other things that you mentioned there, along with, of course, the recreation aspect of this and just the idea of keeping this open and a good vibe in the community that it can create and everything. I think there's also a part of this, too, that comes down to whenever we're talking about any kind of these, sport uses or anything, personal responsibility. And there's a lot of that that comes into play. And I feel confident in that in the community as well. The outlier, if you will, that is something that we can police ourselves and as well, that we can keep an eye and we can look out for each other in and everything. as far as more of these vehicles being on the roads and we're not being used to them, well, we are also probably not that used to Amish vehicles going by or motorcycles sometimes.
Electric bikes.
Yeah, we get used to it.
Come on, when the Tesla truck goes by and you're distracted, hey, what is that?
What was that thing? Yeah. We get used to these things. We adapt to them. And just as importantly as that is, of course, the promotion of these vehicles and this sport. I don't think that it's lost on anybody what happened up north last winter and how devastating that was for the economy up there. Doing something like this not just benefits our community, but could benefit from here way up north and down south. It could benefit the whole state.
Absolutely.
It's really that big of a thing.
Can you tell us about who can operate? So do you need a valid Wisconsin driver's license to be on the roadway? Like, can you tell us about who, if this passes, who we might see?
Yeah, absolutely. So there is state guidance that says anyone under the age of 16 cannot operate a UTV. That is the same in the city ordinance. So you'd see families, people buying, supporting our local businesses, buying UTVs.
Sure.
Four-seaters are super popular, and the sale of them, the amount of UTVs and ATVs on the roadway has nearly doubled, the majority of them being the UTVs, which are the little SUV versions. You could also see families enjoying the sport, where you have a parent and then they accompany their 12 to 15-year-old child, which sounds scary, not denying that. If this were something new or something that hasn't been done before, I completely understand the reserve and the justification. We use state-level data, expert opinions, Sheriff Becker, and then considering that we are the only place that's not open. So we want people to come here. If the other places allow for that kind of operation, then they can't, because they're operating in Grand Rapids as a family, and then they cannot come into Wisconsin Rapids. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to make it not a trap in a way where the rules are standard across the board.
A little more free-flowing. Yeah. I was just curious about that because I just think about, you know, because I know you can go to like ATV safety, right?
You should go to ATV safety.
When you're a certain age, but you're not a licensed driver. You know, so just thinking about how that translates from recreational trails versus roadways when you have, I mean, because there's a lot going on, right?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Especially if you've ever taught a teenager to drive.
Yeah.
I drive a car, you know, there's a lot going on. So I was just curious about what the thought process was around roadways.
And there, we also have in there that you cannot have a suspended, restricted, revoked, or canceled driver's license for any reason. So there are people who obviously manipulate the system and get a DUI, and then because you don't technically have to have a driver's license to operate an ATV, you could go out and buy one of those and then drive it. That's not okay. We agree that that's not okay. Mm-hmm. So we put in there that if you have a restricted or revoked or suspended driver's license, then you're not permitted to operate on the roadway.
Awesome.
And insurance. Fantastic.
Well, I mean, I think just the thoughtfulness around safety, right, ahead of time is important.
Good question.
Yeah. And putting that safety, giving parents the ability to make that call with their child. Like, these are expensive vehicles. You have a UTV or an ATV. Some of those are upwards of $50,000.
Yeah.
And to think that there would be somebody who would just throw a 12-year-old on it and send them to Walmart
themselves.
Is insane. That's insane.
Yeah.
And we don't want that. We want it to be safe. We want the community to enjoy it. We want more people being involved in this sport, and we want more people coming here to see what Wisconsin Rapids has to offer.
I think you put this in context for us perfectly, and I cannot thank you enough for the time and taking our questions and everything. Is there anything else you wanted to touch on before we let you go, Madeline?
Yeah, so we've seen a lot of, I'm sure everybody's seen our signs. I think there's about 600 of them out there. There's signs and posters and banners. There is a QR code on all of those signs. So that QR code takes individuals who are interested directly to our webpage. We have the ordinance posted there. We have a full FAQ document. We've got the supporting state documents, state statute, our DNR statute, the recreational impact report, anything that people could need. And our end goal is for people to really read, digest the information, and then make an informed and educated decision. If that comes out as yes, great. If that comes out as no, also great.
But make the decision because you did the homework.
Correct.
Yeah. Well said and well done. Great work today. Thank you so much again, Madeline, for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
We will take a quick time out. We'll come back with some entertainment news and some more fun on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Terry and James here with you, getting ready for Halloween. Halloween Eve. No, we got some entertainment news for you. But before we get into that, I do want to send another shout out to Madeline for joining us. That was fantastic.
Yeah, she did a great job.
She did a really good job. That was a really good conversation. Appreciate that. And again, I encourage people to, on those signs, check out that QR code, do your homework November 5th, and be informed on this one.
You know, and on the other side of that, I'll jump on the soapbox here. But, you know, I also just want to give shout out to Madeline just for her public service, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, volunteering. Obviously, you have to campaign and run, but to sit on the city council, and, you know, it's great to see young people getting engaged that way. And, you know, so shout out to her and anybody who's giving of their time for public service.
I didn't want to embarrass her too much, but I couldn't agree more. I wanted to make a real point of that not just what we are talking about with the referendum, but what this young person has done, and that anybody out there can do that. You guys can do those things. There's a lot of people that want to bark, be heard. That's a young person being heard. That's a young person getting something done. Do you want to bark, or do you want to get something done? That's how you get stuff done. That was great. And a great note by you, Tara. Thank you. Getting into entertainment, Ringo Starr is making his return to country with his next album, Look Up. It's going to be produced by legendary, one of the greatest producers of all time, and certainly in country music, T-Bone Burnett, famous for Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, and some other soundtracks and other great albums that he produced. It's coming out January 10th. He released the album's first single, Time on My Hands. Ringo's dabble in country was he did this back in the 1970s with Bucoops for Blues. He's done this a little bit in his career. Even in the Beatles, there have been times where you could tell that Ringo had a hand in the writing of a song, whether it was the music or the lyrics. It oftentimes would have a little bit of a country feel to it. Where the rest of the guys, you talk to John, George, or Paul, they're going to tell you that their first influences are Muddy Waters and the blues and a lot of that. For Ringo, who kind of came into the band a little bit later, a lot of his influence is country western. A lot of his influence is certainly some rock and roll and some early 50s rock and roll. But a lot of that country western sound, that twang, a lot of that kind of thing, he really got into. This is a little bit different. He's not going back. He's coming back to country. It's not his first dip in country. But it's just another, it's also to, I think, plenty of people out there, another artist jumping into the country music game. And it's not the end of this. You're not going to, Lana Del Rey, almost a year ago, talked about she's coming out with a country album. Even before Beyonce did. Or no, it was probably around the same time. But, you know, Post Malone, there is a ton of artists that are diving into the dipping their cowboy boot into the country music scene.
I think they're dipping their toe into the boot.
Yeah, there you go. Right? That's the way to do it. Yeah. It's interesting. And it's all music. I mean, to each their own. Nobody's a gatekeeper on these.
And you
things.
Don't have to like it if you don't like it. Like what you like.
And at the end of the day, people always make the decisions on these. And I'm not talking about the Grammys or any of those kind of things. I mean, how an album
just
does.
Just in general. Yeah.
If it sells well, the country music world has seemed to embrace a lot of these artists that have been doing this. Their records have been doing very well. So, yeah, to each their own. And if it's good music, that's what'll win out, in the end. And good wins out in the end. We're going to stay in country music a little bit here because I wanted to touch on this story. Luke Combs posted on Instagram that the Concert for Carolina will, quote, go down as the night I am most proud of in my career. I think that's kind of saying
super
something.
Cool.
Yeah. He and Eric Church came together to help those affected in the Carolinas by the devastating hurricane, and they raised over $24 million. We touched on this a little bit yesterday, but during the concert, Luke thanked the owners of the Carolina Panthers for donating their stadium as a venue and everyone else who donated their time. And then he told the crowd, every single dollar that is made in this building tonight is going straight up those dang mountains to the people that needed the most. And I have never been more proud to walk on this stage than I am right now. And Eric Church has announced plans to rebuild 100 homes for residents who lost theirs through the Chief Cares Fund. That got me when I read that. Yeah, I'm going to be honest really with everybody. Cool. Even reading it a second time gets me.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Having already heard the story, but listening to you read it, like, it's like goosebumpy. Ooh, yeah, you know, it's awesome.
Quote, I love seeing the country community coming together to help those in need. Good on you, Luke and Eric, for this. This is the sentiment of a lot of people, you know. Yeah. And there's so many people. I'm noticing a lot of people in the hip-hop community donating to this and being a part of this and wishing they had thought of something like this or done or had the ability to do something like this. I'm seeing people in like heavy metal donating to this cause. Like, this is not just a country music thing. While it is country music artists doing it, this is something that a lot of musicians, James Taylor, Sheryl Crow showed up at this. You've had a couple of celebrities that were at this event and everything. This is where we talk about this on a macro level all the time, you and I, Terry. We're in the catbird seats. We get to see the beauty of this community all the time. I'm fortunate enough to have people come in on the air and talk with about community events and talk about things going on in the community all the time, and I see these heroes every day. You and your position at the United Way get to see this and be a part of a lot of those things all the time. We know how darn beautiful this community is. This is on a country level that we're talking about this, because, yes, this took place in the Carolinas, but people from all over the country bought tickets, took time, and this wasn't something that you could plan for. This happened pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So if you were buying a ticket
you
had to make plans to be able to do this. We've talked about how much concert tickets, how much they cost endlessly. So we know that it wasn't a cheap ticket to do either. So while I give a lot of credit to Mr. Combs, Eric Church, all the people that were involved in this, I give just as much credit to the individuals that bought a concert ticket and went to this show. I'm not saying that they didn't get something good for their bang for their buck, if you will. But they did something pretty cool here too.
I think that's just
as noteworthy. I think one of the worst owners in all of professional sports is the owner of the Carolina Panthers, and I will give him credit for opening up the Carolina Panthers stadium for this and everything. This is what we can do when we work together, when we come together. I guarantee you at this concert were people that are voting for different people on November 5th, but they all came together for this. They all came together for this. We need to remember that, everybody. We are better together. We are stronger together. And whatever happens on November 6th, November 7th, or anything like that, keep that in mind, that we work better together, we are stronger together, and we need each other. We need each other, everybody. Nobody gets through this life without each other. And this is another perfect example of what happens when we work together and come together. We are hoping to be joined by the director or maybe some of the members of Central Wisconsin Area Community Theater's Matilda tomorrow, hoping to work that out. We'll see.
Cool.
But want to send a shout out to them. They've got their two more editions of their show coming up Friday and Saturday. They'll have a 7 o'clock show both night for the great show Matilda. I'm hearing such good things about this one, everybody. Support our good friends over at Central Wisconsin Area Community Theater. Take in this show. Get your tickets. You can do that at cwac.org. And we'll be talking more about this tomorrow, possibly. And tomorrow, not only on the morning show, are we going to put a real focus on Halloween and talk about the history of Halloween, got some random facts about it, some other fun topics involving Halloween. We're going to dress up around here. That's going to be fun. But our afternoon, 4 to 6, where we have taken over your prime time. We have taken over the afternoons. We are getting bigger and bigger and more popular in the afternoons. We're so thankful to the audience for that and our advertisers for that. It's nice to have WFHR in the afternoons again.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's been a long time, and it's been really fun to hang out with you guys in the afternoons again. Tomorrow afternoon, we got a special lineup for you from 4 to 6. We got our Halloween special going on. We got a bunch of different stuff that we did for Halloween. Took some old, you know, stories and poems, and had each of our staff read one. Chuck and Pam read some. Melissa, Seth, and Laura read some. I read one. We've got some fun stuff there for you lined up. Perfectly timed with those of you out trick-or-treating, or maybe if you're getting an event at home or something, or an event at a business. You want a good soundtrack, we got it for you.
Cool.
We got it right there, 4 to 6, right here at WFHR. And I do want to remind everybody that our new newsletter, the third edition of our newsletter, will be premiering tomorrow at noon. Sign up for that, everybody, at WFHR.com. This newsletter is your newsletter. If you are living in the Central Wisconsin area, or you want to know about the Central Wisconsin area, there are no other better news source than this one right here. Nobody is covering this area like we are. Nobody is covering this area better than we are. I put my name on that. And more importantly, I put WFHR's name on that, which is saying something, because we've been doing this for 80 plus years in this area. Nobody knows this area like we do. And I'm not saying that egotistically. I'm saying that because of the pride that I have in all of you and this area and what you guys help us do. We don't collect all this information just ourselves. So many of you listeners out there, so many of you people out in the community, let us know about this information or share it with us. So many of you that work at nonprofits or on boards or things like Madeline coming in today, or stuff that you share with us, Terry, or anything. We're able to cover this stuff thanks to our community. And it's your newsletter. Sign up for it at WFHR.com, everybody, and spread the word about the newsletter. We appreciate you doing that. We're going to come back after our break, and we're going to find out which topic Terry chose. I'm going to put her on the spot, everybody. That couldn't go wrong for me. If I'm not back, everybody, I appreciate you all, okay? It was really fun working with you all. We'll come back with more show, morning show on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Terry and James hanging out with you. We hope you're having a fantastic Wednesday out there. Happy hump day, everybody. Got a fun one, or a fun couple of options for you, Terry. We're going to get into it in just a second. But our head of news, Melissa Kay, never stops reporting. And she was let me know a little bit ago that there was a transformer that blew out in Port Edwards. Made quite the noise out there. It sounds like it was a squirrel on a transformer, small area affected, but wanted to make sure to touch on that. We, of course, got other things.
Dinner.
I was waiting for it. I knew you had something. I knew you had that look on your face. I knew you had.
Is it ironic when a squirrel is like squirrel?
Yeah, you know? it's a little bit. A little bit. It's also a little, I would think, a very like, oh, man, did you hear Louie went out?
Yeah, it's not good.
There's got to be signs for squirrels. Like, the squirrel community needs to make signs for those things.
I mean,
they need to
warn each
other. They
should take care of their own.
This is why we're ahead on the food chain.
He had, like,
we work together.
Cheeks, yes, or yeah, not, now yeah. There's roasted chestnuts. Or no?
Does it pop if they go into? No, I don't want to get into. We're going down a bad route here. We're going. Terry, you got to make a decision. I got to make you work a little bit here. Which topic do you think would be? Would you like to dive into? I've got Halloween tips here from Midwest Express Clinic.com, a wonderful website. Halloween tips on costumes to trick or treating itself, or the most dog and cat obsessed states.
Oh, boy. I think I'm going to stay the course with Halloween because they do still have one day to react.
Yeah.
Right? So if you hear something here that you like, you still can get it in order before tomorrow.
You know, and that's a great point. And it was something I was thinking about with this topic, and it comes up right away with our first one. Most people have picked out their Halloween costumes by now, and one of their first tips when it comes to Halloween costumes is picking out a costume for your child and finding something maybe that's bright colored or reflective. Now, that is something, well, what do I do with that now? You could still add something to the costume like that.
Yeah, and you know, that's funny. Don't you remember hearing that when you were a kid?
Yes.
Like, oh, make sure, you know, but maybe people just let their kids go. Like when we were kids, I think kids could wander a little bit more.
There is
absolutely no way.
Yeah.
Like my kid. I mean, yes, now when they're older. But I'm just saying, like, they would not be out on their own. But I will say, though, you can go to a big box retailer. You can also go to, there's a Halloween store in town here. Mm-hmm. And you can actually buy just reflective tape. That you can just add to the costume.
Yeah.
You know, maybe just put a strip down the leg or just something to gather attention.
It's a great note, too, to have it on the front and the back of the child,
and
whatever you're doing.
I mean, because it will be dark, right? Yeah. I mean, that's the reality.
Mm-hmm. Make sure your child's shoes fit well, as loose-fitting shoes can lead to accidental tripping or entanglement, or slow them down when they're like crossing a street, or just, you know, their feet are just going to be more sore and they're going to complain more, and you're going to have to deal with that.
You're just trying to get to the doorbell first.
Yeah,
I mean, if you are just running, put on their sneakers, right?
Yeah.
Like maybe this isn't a good time for Crocs. I don't know.
And making sure that they have a full stomach, that they have a balanced dinner before they go out and hit the road.
So unreasonable.
That's a very difficult. That's a tough one. That's a tough one.
You know, I do always remember, though, that used to be a thing with my kids when we were trick-or-treat age, or when they were. And you know, trick-or-treating would start at 4. Mm-hmm. And so it's like they get done with school at 3:45. But you do want them to eat something.
Yeah.
And for me, it was never necessarily about, like, that they're going to gorge on all this candy. It was more just so that they wouldn't get crabby. Like, you know, just hangry, yeah, right?
Hangry, yes.
And
yes.
So we actually started, I'll give a little shout-out to my Rudolph peeps, but when I was, like, a room mom out at the elementary school, we finally just started doing pizza. Mm-hmm. On Halloween at the end of the day for all the kids.
Yeah.
So when they were done with school, they at least had a slice or two of pizza in their belly. You know what I mean? And then they could go out and hit the trick-or-treating.
Make sure your child, especially if they are young, is accompanied by a responsible adult to ensure that they are safe and in case of emergency.
What is the key word there?
Responsible.
Oh, good. Good work.
Good. Because to me, you can. I was 14, 15, and walking my brother and sister around for Halloween. But I was way, way, way serious. A young person. I was way too serious. And I was a good choice for that. You know, you have to know your audience a little bit on this one. Do you know if a teenager, he or she will be good at this or not?
But, you know, if you have the ability and you have the time, you know, maybe you don't have to be at work or you don't have to be somewhere else. Like, as an adult, share this experience with your kids. You know what I mean? Like, even if you have an older teenage child, like, there's just still something about it, I think. Just being out there and walking around or, for us, when I grew up, it was literally in and out of the car at every house because we were in the country. There was no, you know, walking from house to house. But there's still just something about that as a parent, for me, that I think is just a cool way to engage. Our kids used to get really mad at us because we'd stop at this one house. And they were country neighbors, right? Mm-hmm. So we'll say in the same mile block.
Yeah.
But it was very funny because our kids would get so mad because we'd get there and then they'd be like, oh, you guys, come on in. Come have a beer. You know, so then we're at like one house for a half an hour and the kids are like,
That could be frustrating, I imagine. We got to move. Time is out the essence.
Yeah, we're missing out on stuff.
Those are all good notes. Additionally, advise your kids to only knock on doors of homes that have a porch light on and remind your children not to enter a house or a vehicle to get candy.
For sure.
Never a bad time to remind them of that. You would rather be annoying reminding them a million times than not enough.
Yeah, absolutely. So watch for the porch lights. If you're by Phil's house and the light's off, it means they're out of candy.
Yeah.
But only go where, right? Like, that's just a sign of welcome. It's an invitation. Yep. But you don't need to go in the house. I mean, of course, if it's your grandma, go in the house. But but don't go into a stranger's home. You know, they'll come to the door. They'll serve you the candy.
Make sure that the kids are, and remind the kids to only walk on well-lit streets and sidewalks to prevent getting injured or any moving vehicles. And of course, just like your day-to-day life, keeping an eye out for moving vehicles, they might be on the streets at a different time than they normally are. So there's going to be, we know as adults, there's different traffic. We can't expect them to know that.
You know, something that's always stuck with me, because kids don't think about it, like when there are cars parked on the side of the road and they dart out between those cars.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they're going to go across to the house over here, and you just really can't, you know, as a you're operating a vehicle and you're kind of going around those cars, but if someone shoots out from between, so, you know, just have your kids, whatever, hold hands, go to the crosswalk, that kind of thing, but using good street smarts, right?
Yeah, and they mention again about the you know, making sure that there isn't removing any tripping hazards or any possible tripping hazards for the kid. Say you've got a little girl that's dressed up as a witch or a princess or something, making sure that the dress is not, you know, she's not tripping on it or anything like that. To homeowners, to people out there, making sure that your yard is clean. You know, you don't have a ton of stuff out there that kids can trip on or not. It's, again, going to be a little dark out. They don't always see some of these things. This is on us. This is something that I part of the reason I brought this up. I hear some older people, and by saying that, I mean people even our age, Terry, talking about how, boy, in my day, trick-or-treating was better. In my day, you could do this. In my day, that. We're becoming that generation now. Well, our generation is becoming that a little bit.
And a lot's changed, so get over it.
Get over it. What about being thankful for what we still have? There is an option here where we don't even have Halloween, where we don't even have this holiday anymore, where we don't have any of this. I think that everything evolves, and you either get lost in time or you go forward with it. Nothing is going to stay the same, and it's evolved to a better place. I think Halloween is better now than what it used to be. Especially with the evolution of these things, would you want to use the same Halloween costumes they were in the 20s and 30s? Have you seen those things? They're terrifying. They're terrifying. The costumes of the 1900s and 20s are terrifying. Thank God things evolve. Thank God things go forward. And guess what? This is safer for our kids, which is the bottom line here.
Well, and you know what? That's the gist of it, right? Be smart, make good decisions, be safe, and most importantly, have fun.
Yeah, enjoy yourself. And that's not just to the kids. You adults enjoy yourselves. Terry, what you were talking about before about going out with the kids trick-or-treating if you're an adult or something, I cannot encourage you enough. If you have the time, if you're home, go with the kids trick-or-treating. My dad, to this day, wishes that he still could. It's part of the reason why he likes to hand out candy. I didn't get to do this much with my kids. And it's something that every year around this time, as excited as I get about this, there's a little part of my brain that's very melancholy because I didn't get to do this enough with my kids. I cannot encourage you enough. If you have the ability to do this with your kids, get out there, do this. You don't know. Before you know it, they ain't going to want to do it with you anymore. They ain't going to want to go trick-or-treating anymore. They're not going to want to do these things. I cannot encourage you enough. Be a part of these things. Be a part of your kids' lives as much as you can, if you can, in this situation tomorrow. And enjoy. You hit the biggest head on there. Have fun. Enjoy yourself, everybody. We will take our final time out of the show. Come back. We'll have some more fun on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Hope you all are having a great morning out there. Thanks so much for joining us. Terry and James here with you. Hope you're having a good one. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We're going to get to a little United Way talk in a moment and get into our schedule as well. But first, it could be the long national nightmare of the McFlurry machine being broken every time you go to McDonald's could be over, everybody.
Oh, thank God.
McDonald's is working. They have seen their numbers dropped their last, 7 to 8 quarters. Their numbers have been dropping a little bit. And when you're McDonald's and you've got billions and billions of people, it's not that noticeable to society, maybe, but the board members of McDonald's are noticing. And then this E. coli thing happened. And that has, their stock dropped.
Did you hear, though, it wasn't actually the burgers?
No.
It was the onions.
It was the onions, yes.
Anyway.
And no, that's a good
people
note.
Still got sick. I mean, I'm not questioning that, but I'm just saying it was different origin.
So they're looking for ways to build back their base. They were already doing this before the E. coli break, and now they're definitely doing it. And they're going full steam ahead. And one of the things that they're trying to do is make sure that every single McFlurry machine in the McDonald's universe is working.
I mean, there's nothing more irritating than being like, oh, we don't have McFlurries right now. What?
It sounds like the broken McFlurry machine problem might have finally been solved. The fact that they're always busted is such a well-known thing. There's a website that tracks it called mcbroken.com.
It's a little much.
And at any given time, around 10% of the McFlurry machines are down nationwide. But it turns out the reason that they're always broken is because not just anyone can fix them. A company called Taylor makes those machines, and for years, they've been the only ones legally allowed to work on them. They owned the exclusive rights, so McDonald's had no choice but to wait around for an official Taylor repairman to swing by. But now that's changing after the U.S. Copyright Office just weighed in. They granted an exemption that gives companies like McDonald's the, quote, right to repair those machines themselves and bypass digital locks.
Well, because if they can't, I mean, I could see if they would deliver on that, right? If they can service it within, 48 hours and they get a different contractor or whatever. But if they can't deliver on what they're trying to hold the monopoly on, then
100%,
no deal.
100%. I mean, man, did they get away with one for a while here.
But you can,
if you want to keep something like that, you got to be good
at
it.
If you can do it, fabulous, right?
Yeah. You can thank a group called Public Knowledge and the website ifixit.com for the change. They filed the exemption request, and after iFixit ripped apart a McFlurry machine last year and found they're really not that hard to repair. It's really not rocket science.
So it's more about capacity of people to do it.
Yeah. So now this is opening up up more. And this is also, I think, giving a lot of people a little like a bit of an understanding. Like, I don't want to say apologizing to McDonald's, but I think a lot of the blame went to the McDonald's and unfortunately sometimes staff at local McDonald's where, hey, it wasn't us this time, you know, and I mean, it's being more
there's
known.
Something about an M&M McFlurry.
Oh, yeah.
And so when, you know, when they're not available.
When you
constantly,
want one,
it's like, dang.
When you want one, it's the only thing that will fit that.
There's something about their vanilla soft serve. Yeah. I don't know.
It's
like,
it's
awesome.
Want to get into our schedule real quick. First off, though, big thank you to our guests today. Phil Hartley joining us from Quality Plus Printing. That was a lot of fun. Phil joins us every Wednesday, Weather Wicked Awesome, Word of Wednesday. And always love talking with Phil. Big thank you to him and our friends at Quality Plus Printing. Getting your words out, go visit them on A Street right now and check them out for all your printing needs. And, of course, Madeline Palmquist for joining us, explaining and getting into the ATV-UTV referendum with us.
Yeah, I mean, we were busy today.
Yeah, it's a good conversation. We appreciate all of that. Appreciate all of you. Stick around. We got Matt and Air on Air coming up from 10 to noon. Be sure to join Jane and Greg for their amazing work that they do. And then be around a little bit later today from 4 to 5 for Midday Magazine, where in part one, we have Technical Sergeant Tyler Kenemar joining us from the U.S. Air Force Band in Central Wisconsin. Looking forward to that. That's cool. Going to be a fun interview.
Yeah.
And in part two, Trent Miner, our good friend from our Wood County Clerk, is going to be joining us. We're going to talk all about voting in Wood County on election night. Get
awesome.
You ready for that. Always appreciate the time from Trent.
And Trent's a great guy. That'll be awesome.
Really is. And a little bit later today from at 5 o'clock, we'll be here with Playmakers. Nobody made a highlight from the sidelines. Call up and join the gang. We appreciate you guys your sports thoughts and feelings.
How quiet were you on Monday? I wish I would have been able to tune in.
I don't want to talk about it. No. It actually didn't come up. I kept waiting for the audience.
Come
to
on.
It. Nobody brought it up. Nobody. I wasn't going to bring it up. Nobody brought it up.
Come on.
Hey, I don't run the show.
I would have came to the window.
I don't run the show.
I had a meeting during that time.
Our great listeners run the show, and they were nice to me. Nobody
brought
it up.
Oh, for the love. This afternoon, James would like to talk about that Hail Mary.
I don't know. I you know what? I'm not even sure what you mean by that. I'm not sure. I saw that play.
You probably had it off by then.
It's in my nightmares. it is a Wednesday. We know what that means. It is bingo at the Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge. Join them when their doors open at 5:30. Bingo kicks off at 6:30. Join our Elks Lodge every Wednesday for bingo at 430 West Jackson Street. And while you're having a good time there, know that you're putting into your community because the Elks Lodge sure puts into our community, everybody. We
Absolutely.
Appreciate them. We will get into Halloween times and some Halloween events a little bit more tomorrow. Looking forward to getting you ready for that. But Terry, I wanted to wrap up talking a little United Way and reminding everybody that it is go time.
It is go time. We are currently campaigning for our annual fundraiser. This happens, you know, we kick off in September, but I want to say September, October, but let's be real. September till the end of the year.
Yeah.
But we are seeking donations to support the work that United Way does in the community. And so this is in your local community, whichever one you may be listening from, but for us, Southwood and Adams counties, 100% of your donation stays in the community that you donate to. And I think what's really important is all of the dollars that we raise in the fall support programs starting January 1st. I mean, we cut those first checks to programs. And so there's several ways that your investment gets back out into the community. One is through partner programs that we help to fund. There are 30 of those in the community that are impacting people in a variety of ways. You know, when you think about youth opportunity and we think about healthy communities and financial security, you know, thinking about all of those things and what that might mean for a household here in our community. So we help to fund those programs. There are several initiatives, 10 of them, as a matter of fact, that are run by our United Way staff that are enhancing quality of life for members of the community. And then, you know, there's a whole lot of other work that goes on that we can be engaged in through coalitions and through partnerships that happen, and really bringing down barriers from nonprofits working together and talking to each other and making sure that we're all on the same page and trying to meet needs of community members. So collectively, your donation helps to impact nearly 20,000 people. Mm-hmm. And there's nowhere else that you can do that. There is no other way that you can do that and have as great of impact on your friends, family, neighbors in need. So if you've never been a United Way donor, I encourage you to give it a try. You can drop a donation off at 351 Oak Street in Wisconsin Rapids. You can visit our website, uwswac.org, and you can give online. If you give as little as a dollar a week or as much as a dollar a week, so $52 a year, you qualify for our sweepstakes, which is super fun. We have five local businesses that donated those prizes. So that we can encourage people to donate and get on board. So you could even have a chance to win something.
It's something to keep in mind, everybody. And keep in mind as well, you can impact your community through volunteering. Encourage you to call 211, find out more about some of the great volunteer opportunities going on in your community, and be on the lookout for United Way events, being a part of those events, volunteering at those events. It is another way to be a part of things with your United Way. I cannot think of a better way to impact your community, being a part of this campaign and working with your United Way of Southwood and the Adams Counties. Find out more at uwswac.org, and be sure to follow them on social media. Share their posts on your pages. You just never know who might see them that might not otherwise. So encourage you to do that, everybody. An 82-year-old Marine named David Lorenzo just got his Naval Academy class ring back after 54 years after he lost it on the golf course in Pittsburgh, and his wife would not let him hear the end of this. A random golfer.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing at all. A random golfer found it in the dirt after a storm and traveled all the way to Florida to give it back to him.
That's super cool.
David joked that the ring, quote, survived combat but couldn't survive his golf game.
I mean, fair enough, right? I love it.
I encourage you, while I'm telling you this story here, and you may be getting the gist of it, it's not going to hit home until you see the pictures. He handled this really well, and he kind of lapped off some things, but his eyes tell the story. His eyes tell you what this isn't just a ring. This means something. This is a memory. This is something that... this is a point of pride for him to get this back. It's something that he deserves, and dignity that he deserved with this. And maybe it helped his golf game a little bit.
Maybe he has like free golfing for life now. There's just also just something about that, right? Like you see something, you find something, and instead of just whatever, kicking it aside, taking it home and putting it somewhere, like actually checking it out and investigating it and getting it right back to the person.
Yeah.
I'm always waiting for this to happen where it's like a flung engagement ring. And then she's like, No, really.
I
intended for it to stay in the dirt.
Yeah. Gee, thanks. How am I going to get rid of this? Terry, great show today.
Thanks, you too.
Have a good day, everybody. Be good to each other out there.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.